Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Something that if you do, you will never have regret. You know, it's possible to live without regret. You don't always have to look at the end of every year and have, you know, so many regrets. There's a way you can live your life that you will have little or no regret. That is the ultimate. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Today, I know this chapter is popular, but God will be showing you some things you never saw. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's read verse 1 to 6. Let's stop. We'll move 7 to 13 later. Davina, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 6. Please follow in your own Bibles. First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 6. Just what do you have? Read verse New Living, if you have New Living Translation, or whatever version you have. First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 6.
Yeah, okay. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing.
Verse 3.
If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing.
Okay, let's pause there and break that down, and then we'll come back. You know, I've read 1 Corinthians 13 for years. For years. But, like I told you, each time you read the Word of God, and that's why if you're not reading your Bible daily, you are doing yourself a lot of harm. Why? Because every day you are contending with the forces of darkness, whether you like it or not. The mere fact that you step out, even if you stay in, yeah, the forces of darkness are there. The Bible says that the world is in darkness. So if you are not reading your Bible, you are not exposing yourself to light. So when you don't expose yourself to light, what will happen? You will walk in what? In darkness. Doesn't matter if you've been born again for 30 years. If you are not exposing yourself to light, you will walk in darkness, because that's the default position. The world is in darkness. He said, if I speak in the tongues of men and tongues of angels. Now, if you don't understand, that's a spiritual gift. In 1 Corinthians 12, he was talking about spiritual gifts. One of the spiritual gifts is the gift of tongues. Okay? That's why you see in this church, we pray in tongues. That gift is bigger than that. You can pray in tongues. You can also prophesy in tongues. When you prophesy in tongues, then you need to give the interpretation. And that happens, and you also see that happen in this church. So the sign just give you a message. I could be preaching, and then I just change to tongues. But then, if the Lord gives me interpretation, then I interpret what the Lord has just spoken. Now, I can speak in tongues in the language of men. There are instances where people to preach in a foreign land, and they just start preaching, and suddenly they start speaking in tongues, and they are speaking the exact language of the people. In fact, there was an instance, you know, where there was a meeting. And there was this very tough man in that meeting. And then God just raised 5-year-old, you know, and she just started speaking in tongues. And it so happened that the 5-year-old was speaking a tongue that man, so this was in America, but this man had, you know, grew up in maybe, you know, one of the native Indian tribes in America. So he knew that language. And the tongue the 5-year-old girl was speaking, which she didn't learn anywhere, was the exact language that man grew up in. And God was saying, get right with me or you will die in sin. And that man repented that day because he knew that it had to be God. So you can speak in the tongues of men or in the tongues of angels. Many times when we pray in tongues, it's not even human language. It's heavenly language. But the Bible says that even if I do that, imagine I speak in tongues for 5 hours every day. I pray in tongues. I pull down the heavens and the earth. The Bible says if I don't have love, you know what I am? I've read it before. It says I'm a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. You know the meaning? I'm a noisemaker. You know, they have a proverb. They say, empty vessel. What do? They make the loudest noise. You know why they are empty? Spiritually, they don't have love. They have action, but they don't have what? Love. He said, I'm a noisemaker. I can come to the front and lead. I'm not talking to anybody here, by the way. I really am not. I can come to the front and lead prayer and, you know, shout the heaven down. If I don't have love, what am I? A noise maker. It means that God doesn't reckon with anything I've done. Even if I've used all my sweat. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Let me ask you the first question and then we go back. I'll be showing you some things that you've not seen from this place before. So my first question is this. What is the difference between human love and the God kind of love? Because obviously, if you read 1 Corinthians 13, you will find out that this love, when I read it, I find that my flesh struggled with 1 Corinthians 13. Did you read it? He said, always believes, always hopes, does no wrong, takes no wrong, is not jealous, is not rude, he doesn't get angry. Your flesh will struggle with that, isn't it? I mean, when someone has offended you and you need to give it to them, straight. By the way, there's room for that. But if you're doing that all the time, it's the flesh. Are you listening? There's room for giving to people straight. But if that's your permanent pattern, it is the flesh, not the spirit. Hallelujah. So the flesh will struggle with this type of love. So it's not human love. This love we are talking about in 1 Corinthians 13 is not in your flesh, in your natural self. So my question is this. What is the difference between the human type of love, which is your natural love, and the God kind? Let me give you an example of the human type of love. For example, the type of love a mother has for her baby. Yeah, you know a mother loves her baby. Yeah, Sister PJ. You know how much a mother loves her baby. A suckling child. Yeah? You know the attachment. But that's still human love. So what is the difference between human love and the God kind of love? Yes? Anybody? Is that it?
Kind of love is sacrificial.
And human love is?
Well, opposite.
Okay. Thank you for that. Let's take more answers. Yes, brother.
Human love has God conditions attached. But God's love is God no condition, whatever the case may be.
Just okay. Love. So again, still in the same line. Human love is conditional. God's love is unconditional. It's a good answer. Yes? So the question is, what is the difference between the human love and the God kind of love? Because the type of love we're talking about now, which is the ultimate, is not the human type of love. It doesn't need human type of love. Whether it's a mother's love for their child or a love between two people who are falling in love overnight, that is still what? Human love. That's the one you're capable of doing naturally. The human love is the type of love that you can do naturally. Yes? What's the difference, Eddie?
Can I say God's love is divine?
Human love.
Which can be teleguided.
Okay. So, human love is conditional, can be teleguided. God's love is divine. So, for example, you have two young people. Why does it even have to be two young people? You have two old people. They are madly in love with each other. Hallelujah. Then something happens. It can be anything. God forbid. But then one of them becomes so greatly offended and say, it's over. Even sometimes you find the other person crying and say, no, please, let's. He said, what? It's over. That's human love. It can fail in 1 second. Because why? It's conditional. Now, any other answer? Okay, let me move on. I want to show you something. It's good answers. In fact, that's what I wrote before. I said, human love is selfish. Even the love you have for your child is selfish. You love them because they are your child. So what if I give you another person's child? Yeah? Yeah? Would you love them as much as you love your child? You see, human love is what?
Selfish.
But God's love, the first answer I wrote down was God's love is sacrificial, which is what you said. But the Holy Spirit challenged me to go deeper. That's right, actually. But we have to go deeper. Let's look at verse 3. Please read verse 3 again. I want to show you something about sacrificial love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. Look at verse 3.
If I gave everything I have to the poor.
If I gave everything I had to the poor. Please imagine. Imagine what I'm saying. So in my own case, I have to give my car, my house, all the contents. You know, the other day a lady won the lottery. So then she told her neighbors, go into my house and take whatever you like. Why not? You want £34 million. You know, who cares about you know all those old, you know, patch things in the house. This happened in the UK recently. Check the news. If I give everything I had to the poor, I empty my current account and my savings account. Then I liquidate all my assets and I give everything. To the poor. Even my clothes. I give it all out except the last one on me. Hello? Are you there yet? Even if I did that and I don't have love. Yes, continue. Levina?
And even sacrificed my body.
Listen, just finish it. Sacrifice my body to what?
I could boast about it.
So, if you look at another version, it said even, look at this type of, look, we are talking about sacrificial love. Is that why you still with me? We are talking about sacrificial love. I give everything I have to the poor or to charity. Now, I see that was not enough. I sacrifice my body. Now, if you look at another version, it said I sacrifice my body to be burned. Hello? He said, even if I sacrifice my body to be burned. Now, would you ever imagine that someone would do that for someone without having love? Yes, they can do it for human love. You know, like yesterday, my wife told me of one of our friends who will, you know, volunteer one of our kidneys to be transplanted to our sister who needs a transplant. You know? That's love. But it's human love. You can sacrifice, but it's still what? Question. Will she give her kidney for the beggar on the street? Are you with me? It's human love. It's still conditional. It's still selfish. She wants the well-being of her sister because she is our sister. I'm not saying there's anything bad about it. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm trying to show you the difference between human love and the God kind of love. I read this yesterday and I was meditating on it and said, I sacrifice my body to be burned. And the Bible is still saying that I can do that and not have divine love. Please continue. Verse 3.
But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing.
I would have gained nothing. I give all my goods to the poor. If I don't have this divine love, let me interpret it better. If what I did was not motivated by divine love, I have gained nothing. You know, in the Bible, it's talked about the Pharisees. He said, when they give their gifts, they go on the streets, they blow a trumpet, you know, and then, you know, they walk in their white robe and they give their alms to the poor. And Jesus said, when you give, don't be like them. He said, why? He said, because when they do that, they already have their reward. Means that God will not bless them for it. They gave, but God will not bless them for it because they got their reward, which was the recognition of men. Question I want to ask you is this. What is the reason why I could give all I have to the poor and still not have love? So if I didn't, what is motivating me to give all I have to the poor? If it's not God's love, what else can motivate me? Think about it. Somebody is willing to sacrifice their body to be burned. But it's not being motivated by God's law. What else could be motivating them? Because if you know the answer, you can apply it to your life. Yes, Sister PJ. Where's the mic? Yes, I'll come back to you. What could be the motive to give all you have or give yourself to be burned and not still have love?
Your ego, to boost your ego.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Are you hearing that? You can do it to boost your ego. It's called pride. Hello? You can boost it to boost your ego. I'm looking for another answer. What else? It's still along those lines. For recognition. What? For recognition. You know, there are some people. I watched a film long time ago. Coming to America. It was when I was young. Yeah, I don't know if you know a scenario there. Where this man, they were passing the, you know, the bag, you know, around for donations. You know, okay? You know? And he just put in, you know, $2. Right? Then someone else, anonymous, put in $1,000. I'm just giving an example. Dollars. And the lady thought that, you know, that was actually, you know, they were cutting. So it was her boyfriend. Thought that it was the one. There are people that when they are being washed, we give for recognition. You know, I mean, sometimes we go to the restaurant and then it's time to pay. And then you just find somebody rise and say, you know, and just pay what you owe me. I'll say, well, let's contribute. No, I'll just pay. But they will not, when they come to church, they will not put offering. I've seen it. I'm telling you what I saw in this church. Are you with me? They did it for what? Recognition. Ego. To boost their ego. They will do it humbly. Don't misunderstand me. It's very humble. Oh, don't worry about it, you know. The Lord be praised. Hello? The Lord be praised. But they did, they just boosted their ego. And you know what? They have no other reward from God. They got their reward. Yes. Were you going to say something? Why will somebody give all their goods to the poor and not be motivated by God's love? It bothers me. I don't get it. Why should somebody be willing to sacrifice their body to be burned and yet they are not being motivated by God's love? What could be the reason? Yes?
I saw it on TV. It was a man that wanted to have the paper to be Belgian, and so he decided to burn his body for the authorities to give him the paper.
Yes. Okay, so they can do it for blackmail. Yeah, they can do it to blackmail. They can do it to manipulate. And it can just be even just the simple reason of self-righteousness. Sometimes you do good things to make yourself feel good about yourself. Hello? For example, there are some thieves, armed robbers. Armed. So like, you know, they are pen robbers. Yeah? They rob with their pen. They are mouth robbers. They will stalk you and collect. Oh, yeah. You will willingly give them. They have convinced you with their mouth. Yeah? They are mouth robbers. But there are some other groups that they are armed. They want to take it by force. Now, they collect it. But they do this under G. Nobody knows they are armed robbers. Do you understand? No, you can't really recognize an armed robber. They may come to church and put on the nicest clothes. It happens. I'm telling you what happened. I'm not telling you. And then they will come to church, put on the nicest, and give a massive offering. Massive. Bigger than the tithe. Hello? And you know what? You know, the pastor will pray for them. As I tell you something, even if you are paying your tithe and you are giving good offering, that doesn't make you righteous. Hello? Your righteousness is connected to your faith and your obedience. Pay your tithe. It's part of your obedience. But understand that is just a part of your obedience. It does not substitute for obedience. Let me tell you something. Now, people, they pay their tithe, they don't come to church. They are obedient in tithe, but they are disobedient to the Lord. God help them that the rapture does not happen before they repent. Because they are unfaithful. Hello? If you are in love with somebody and they don't show up, you have an appointment, and this man that is trying to date you does not show up. Sister Claudia, I just want to pull your legs, okay? I don't mean anything. Yeah, I know if I do it, my wife will just say, don't do that again. No, we have conversation, by the way. Don't be surprised. We have to say,
Say, Pastor, why did you call Sister Claudia when you were talking about that thing? We still had the conversation on Friday night even. When you were giving an example of that thing, why did you say it like that? Do you know what people were thinking? I said, I'm the pastor. When as a pastor, I'm pouring out my life. Amen. So that you can become everything that God has called you to be. And the Bible says there is no fear in love. If I'm going to walk by fear, I'm not going to be able to pour out my life. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Love demands attention and devotion. Love demands commitment. If you love God, you will be committed to Him. That is the proof of your love. The proof of your love is not just buying flowers. Yeah? It's your commitment that is the greatest proof of your love. Amen? They will come and give large fat offering. Why are they doing it? To feel good. They already feel guilty. They are armed robbers. When they put that offering, that will give them some sense of feeling good. Do you get it? There are some people that they do terrible things when they are not in church. They don't really even believe much in God, but they will come to church just to feel, you know, that sense of just modulating the problem. You know how to modulate the problem? Just do a little and feel good. Okay. I know I'm bad, but I'm not as bad as, you know, Sister Frances. Yeah? Pride, ego, self-righteousness is the reason why you will do a good work, but it's not motivated by divine love. You know what the Bible says there? It says when you do that before God, before men, they may praise you. They may even raise a monument to your name. But before God, you are nothing. It does not count. Even in this life, not talk of in eternity. It means that if you die like that, when you die like that, you are totally bankrupt before God. With nothing to show for your life. That's the worst state a person can die in. Hello? Apart from going to hell, the worst state you can die in is to die with nothing to show for your life. Nothing. You spend all your life chasing the things of this world, which will definitely perish and pass away. You know, Solomon said, even beauty is vain. You may be the most beautiful young man in church today. I wanted to say sister, but I changed my mind. Hallelujah. I give you 20 years or 30. You will still be beautiful. But you will not be the most. You know why? Somebody who has not been born yet. It could even be the baby. Hallelujah. We rise up and take your place. Even before your very own eyes. Hello? That's why the value of your life. Beauty is not the ultimate. How you look. Your fashion is not what? The ultimate. The ultimate is love. But not the human love. Because the human love is selfish. I will love you because you are nice to me. That's selfish love. Or I will love you because I need something from you. That's what? Selfish love. So when you see young people fall in love, you want to advise a young person, say, I'm warning you. Before you are convinced that somebody loves you, find out the reason why they love you. If there's a reason, you're in trouble. Hallelujah. But the person that can love you, irrespective of whatever reason, that means that love is not truly in their heart. You see, your emotions is not in your heart. I know we say it. You know, when you feel emotions, you think, yes, I'm feeling this in my heart. No. Your emotion is in your head. Your emotion is your feeling being interpreted by your brain. Yeah? Now, what touches you, like if something touches your skin, it can change your emotions. If you smell a nice smell, like a nice perfume, hello? Your emotion can change. Like that. Yeah? If you taste a nice meal, your emotions can change like that.
If you hear good news or bad news, your emotions can change like that in your head. Hallelujah. But the true love, light of God, comes from the enlightened heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let me stop at this church and explain to you that you cannot love with the love of God until you receive that love. You know why? Because you cannot give what you do not have. Hallelujah. You see, when you invite Jesus to come in, he is love. Bible says that greater love has no man than this. That a man should lay down his life for his friends. Let me explain something to you about that. When the Bible says greater love, I think we should open because you may not get open to Romans 5. Let's look at that scripture. I've not even started explaining love, but I will. Romans chapter 5, look at what the Bible is saying there about Jesus. I want to introduce this man, this God man called Jesus to you. Romans chapter 5 verse, I believe that should be verse 8. Can you just read verse 6 to 8? Davina, I'm coming back to you. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8.
For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen. Let me explain that to you. Leave that for now. Look, I'm just trying to link this scripture with what Jesus said. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than the man should lay down his life for his friends. But you begin to ask, who are the friends of Jesus? Okay, we know he had the apostles and the disciples. But from Romans 5, we understand that the friends of Jesus were even people who hated him. Imagine, there was that thief two thieves beside him. These are sinners. They were being crucified. They deserved it. That was a normal punishment. Yeah? And Jesus extended love to them. What was the reason? He didn't deserve it even. He didn't deserve the forgiveness. The only reason why he received that forgiveness was that he believed. Hallelujah. He believed. He said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. He believed. He told the other sinner, he said, why are you criticizing Jesus? We deserve this. But he didn't. He didn't commit any sin. He believed. He opened up to Jesus. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. He died. Like we will all die or be raptured. But he went to paradise. Just a decision he made in 1 second to trust in Jesus and receive his love translated him into an eternal paradise with God. Let me explain something to you. You can't give what you don't have. Amen? To be able to walk in the God kind of love, you have to receive that love inside. How do you receive that love? You have to embrace Jesus. There's no other person that came down from heaven. Amen? There are many religions in the world, but there's no other person that came down from heaven to sacrifice his life for people he didn't know. Hallelujah. His body was broken and his blood was poured out. Hallelujah. That's love. That's love. That is what? Love. Hallelujah. So actually, the human love is selfish. The God kind of love is selfless. I wanted to say sacrificial, but it's not a good enough word. Because we know that you can sacrifice and be motivated by wrong reasons. The human love is what? Selfish. The God kind of love is what? Selfless. Hallelujah. It's an overflowing love that acts to save. Amen? And you cannot have that love or walk in it. Where is the mic? You cannot have that love or walk in it without first receiving it. And if you are in church today, you have not you know, made that conscious, deliberate, resolute, you know, not like joke, decision to invite Jesus into your heart and say, this is not a matter of just saying it. You are saying, Jesus, I believe in you. You are the Lord and the Savior. And I'm asking you, come in and rule in my life. Then, if you have not done that, you have not yet received that love. And you need to do it quickly. Hallelujah. Because love, this love we're talking about, is the ultimate. If you don't have it, I'm telling you, there's nothing in your life that will count for eternity. Because Bible keeps telling us in 1 Corinthians, says, if I don't have this love, even if I give my body to be born, I am what? Nothing. See? Means that all my days, if I continue to live without this love in me, and there's nothing I do that will count in the kingdom. It will just not count. It's wasted life. The world may praise you, but before God, you know, I've watched TV and people say, you know, some say, oh, you know, are you a good person? They say, yes. Do you believe in Jesus? They say, no. So when you die, where do you think you will go? They say, heaven. I'm not joking. How can you go to heaven if you don't believe in the owner of heaven? Do you see what I mean? Before I could travel to the UK, when I first came in 2001, I had to go to the British Embassy. See what I mean? To receive what? What did I receive? A visa. Hallelujah. Thank God now I'm a British citizen. But there was no hope for me until I went to where? The British Embassy. To receive what? A visa. Hello? Hallelujah. Let's go back to love. That was for somebody here. You know, God is talking to you. Or maybe two people or three. I don't know. Let's go back to love. No, now we not understand what the God kind of love is. It's selfless. It's a divine love. It's an unexplainable love. It's a love that you are being pained, but you are still giving it. You can't explain it. It's crazy. You understand? It's a love that somebody is hurting you, but you are still going all out to help and to save. You can't do it in your own power. It's just not possible. It takes that love being released into you by God, and then you being a channel of it out. But if you don't live your life like that, it will not count. Okay, let's move on and let me show you something. So let me ask you questions. Let me ask you, look at Davina, please read for me. Oh, let's move to Mirabel. And then from Mirabel, we'll move to the Sister Pamela. Yes. And then from Sister Pamela to Sister Amanda. Hallelujah. We just keep going like that until I locate everybody. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Mirabel, can you just please read verse 4 to 6? We are looking at the characteristics of love now, and I give you a question. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 6. Okay? We want to look at the characteristics of love because I want to ask you a question. And the question I want to ask you is, what is the most important characteristic of love? So you see the list. When you see that list, tell me the most important. Yes, read it. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 6. And then when you finish, I will ask you, what is the most important characteristic of love? And you tell me why. Okay, go on, read.
Love suffers long and is kind love.
Love suffers long and is kind, yes?
Does not envy love. Does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own.
Are you listening to that? Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. You know, like, because I have something more than you. So, sit there. People are talking and you're talking. Love does not what? Parade itself. And it's not rude. It has, but it does not boast. Hallelujah. Continue.
It's not provoked. Thinks no evil.
It's not provoked. Another version will say it's not easily provoked. But think about it. The offense is there. You have good reason to blow up. Yeah? But you refuse to. You know what? There's something that God showed me one day. I want to teach you. Look at this. Anytime you meet somebody again in your life that is seriously angry, yeah, I want you to look at them very well. Just observe them. When they are seriously angry, they begin to behave like a baby. They are out of control. It's a dangerous situation. Even the face will just show you that you pity them and say they're in pain. Are you listening to me? That's why love is not easily provoked. Because if it is, if it gets provoked and the anger takes over, you'll be out of control. For that moment, you are temporarily mad. Are you with me? Love is not easily provoked. But not your own type of love, the God love that you receive and you allow to flourish in you. Yes, continue.
Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth.
It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Meaning that, you know, love. You see, the pure type of love has nothing to hide. Hello, let me just explain this to you. It's levels. It's level of maturity. The pure type of love has nothing to hide. Let me give you an example. Imagine someone comes to you and say, I want to report to you about Davina. See, I want to tell you what Davina did. Then you said, okay, just give me a moment. Then you take your phone and you call Davina and put it on speaker phone. He said, now, right on, I want to hear you now. Talk. Hallelujah. I know. I'm just using a good example. Love has nothing to hide because it does not rejoice in injustice. It rejoices in the truth. Even when the truth hurts, love is truthful. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about truth you throw at people and give it to them. I'm talking about the truth that even hurts you. You know, the type of truth that you don't want to admit. Yeah? That's the type of truth that love does not want to deny to. It engages with the truth. You know it's painful, but engage with it. I was telling someone, he said, anytime God wants to help you, you see, you don't have any power to help yourself. Because you are human. You may have a vision of where you want to be spiritually, but you can't take yourself there without God. But there is something you can do. No, now what I'm trying to say is that without the grace of God, you are nothing. But before God can help you, you have to admit where you are. You know Adam and Eve? Sorry, I'm picking this from a message. When they had sinned and they went to hide, whatever, when God came to the garden, what was the first question that he asked Adam? When God came down or came to the garden after they had sinned, what was the first question that God asked Adam? It's just three words, yes? Where are you? Have you ever wondered? Did God not know where he was? Did God not know? Why was he asking him? Because he wanted Adam to admit where he was. You see, that's why I was preaching before. I said, the worst thing you can do to yourself as a human being is to deceive yourself. You don't want to admit the truth about where you are. Because God cannot help you. If you like fast and pray for 1,000,000 years, if you cannot come to God as plain as you are, say, this is me. He said, what is your name? Say, my name is Jacob. You know me of Jacob? I am a number one deceiver and supplanter. You know he deceived Esau. After he just deceived Esau, Esau was now chasing him. And then he ran away and he had a dream. He said, what is your name? Didn't the angel know his name? He knew. He wanted him to come to terms with his situation. The Bible says that if we say we have no sin, we are what? We are lying. We are deceiving ourselves. You're not helping yourself and you're not helping anybody. But if you come to God and say, ah, God, this is who I am. You know, the Matthew, the tax collector, he went to the hostage and said, this is who I am. And then the Lord was able to touch his life. And for that moment, there was a transformation. Hallelujah. God is saying, whereas. That's why love rejoices in what? The truth. We have to speak truth to ourselves. Because that when you speak truth, grace is released. Because God resists the proud. But what does he do? He gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. Let's continue. I want to show you a bit more about love before we round up, maybe in 10 minutes now. Continue. Have you finished verse 6? Mirabel. Have I lost you? I think I lost you. So let me finish it. Verse 6. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. I think you finished. You finished. So I want to ask you, what is the most, from that list, I mean, reading from your own Bible, what do you think is the most important part of love? That if you say, oh, Sir Papa, say, Pastor, just teach me one thing about love. The God kind. I just want to master one thing and chase me for the next year. What is that one thing you will tell me to master? Again, remember that the answer will be linked to some other scripture. I don't need the scripture, but give me a reason. Yes? There's a characteristic of love in that list that if you can master that, you're on your way to loving. And if you don't master it, you are not on your way to loving.
Patience.
Sister Claudia, put your hands together for her. Special and clap. Hallelujah. Shall we prove it? Open your Bible to James chapter 1 verse 4. James chapter 1 verse 4. James chapter 1 verse 4. So if you hear someone say, I'm very loving. The only problem is just that I'm impatient. You know, I don't have patience. They have just confessed to you that they don't have what? The God kind of love. Because the Bible says, love is what? Patience. You know, I like to read the Bible sometimes. I say, let's start. Love is patience. Stop. Love is what? Patient. Okay, close your Bible. Go home. Love is patient. Now, let's read James 1:4. Yes, somebody? Anybody know? Sammy? James chapter 1 verse 4.
Be let patience and have her perfect work.
Let patience have her perfect work.
That ye may be perfect and entire.
That ye may be what? Perfect and complete. That's another version.
Wanting nothing.
You know what I know, like there's a proverb that says that patience is the master virtue. It's the virtue of all virtues. There's a reason. Love is patient. Hallelujah. Most of the things you are struggling with in terms of walking in love is due to impatience. You pray to God and you want an answer now, like yesterday, not tomorrow. You understand? And if God doesn't answer now, what will you do? You go and do, you take it into your hands and do your own thing. Hallelujah. It's impatience. But that's not even the type I'm talking about. I'm talking about patience in the midst of irritation. Let me tell you one thing about human beings. They will irritate you. Including the pastor will irritate you. You will irritate the pastor. In fact, actually, you will irritate the pastor much more than the pastor is irritating you. But because he's the pastor, he can't tell you. If pastor is telling you, get angry with pastor. If Sister Claudia is telling you, you say, okay, don't mind that. She doesn't know what she's doing. But if pastor, say, why should he criticize me? Yeah. I'm not coming to church next week. I should tell him that, you know, I'm important. What are you doing? The pastor? It's God you're doing. If you don't come to church, who will lose? You. Hallelujah. But the pastor loves you. Remember that. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, because the pastor is dealing with everybody. So, he sees all the problem. Just imagine you are doing the job and you have a microscope. And everybody is passing through. You can see all the problem. You have a permanent glasses. And you can see all the problem. The only thing, you have to pull back and try to see the beauty. Otherwise, if you're looking, you always see what? That's the problem of the pastor. That's his job. Because he's a shepherd. He needs to see it. Because if he can't see the problem, he can't help to solve the problem. But at the same time, the pastor needs to walk in love. I cannot see people and just see problems. In fact, I thank God. I say, when people come and I see their imperfection, I say, thank you, Lord. That's another person you want to work on. Otherwise, I have no job. Amen? If everybody in church is perfect, the pastor has what? No job. Hallelujah. But the problem is that the person that is imperfect will now go and be criticizing the pastor. I'm not talking about anything. I'm just telling you. And then the pastor, because he has to walk in love, thank God for that, hallelujah, you can't go and criticize him back. Because if you do that, you cause more trouble in the church. So you pray and say, God, give me wisdom on how to deal with this problem. Hallelujah. Imagine someone comes to you and you know their problem, you know their solution. But they are ranting to you and telling you that they are not who they are. What will you do? You have to love them still. You have to pray for them. Yeah? And you have to be patient with them. Imagine if Jesus was not patient. Peter would not have made it. Peter, you know Peter? You know Peter, the rock. Do you know that Peter backslided? Sister Pamela, you know Sister Peter backslided? How many times did Peter backslide? Do you know? I can give you 3. It may be more, but I want to give you 3. It's not the 3 you are thinking of. The first time he backslid, it was. Jesus said, oh, who do the men say that I am? He said, oh, you are Jesus, the Son of God. He was so excited, the anointing had come over him. Then next moment, Jesus said, okay, now I have to go to the cross and die. And Peter started saying, I rebuke. Imagine you go to your Lord Jesus, facing him. I rebuke you. If you say that, let me tell you something. I may be wrong, but I gather that Peter was older than Jesus. Probably much older. Hallelujah. So imagine, say, all these days I've been patient with you. I know you can do miracles. But today, I want to tell you something. Whether you like it or not, you are not going to the cross. And the Bible says, Jesus had to say, get thee behind me. Jesus restored. Second time, Jesus said, come and pray. He came, but he slept. Yeah? 3 times, Jesus said, this man, I'm telling you, pray, because temptation is coming. He slept. And then the next day, he denied Jesus. You see, if you saw Peter that day, you know he could lie so fast. He lied. He said, you don't understand. He cursed himself. Read the story. He cursed himself. He said, I'm telling you, I don't know this man. And then he called code. And then he ran away and went to weep bitterly. And then Jesus, when he rose again, he went to see him and restored him. But the third time is in John chapter 21, the last chapter of. After Jesus has risen, he appeared unto them, but for a while he was not showing himself. Peter just remembered that. Didn't we used to fish before? He just called some of his friends and said, let's go. No, he didn't even say it that way. He said, as for me, I'm going fishing. The friends said, we've been thinking about it. We are also going with you. The whole church mission will have this finished. There will be no church. Because they were going back to what Jesus delivered them from. You know what will happen when they go fishing? You know, normally it's the men that will go fishing. Their women will be home doing the other stuff. But when they bring the fish, who will go and sell it in the market? The whole church become fisher. No church. Jesus have to come again. Yeah? 2 things Jesus did for that Peter that day to help him. First of all, Jesus chased away all the fish. See, when you're trying to do something wrong and God is making sure that it doesn't work, he's trying to help you. Hello? I said, when you're doing the wrong thing and it doesn't succeed, thank God. I say, Lord, you love me. I know it was the wrong thing. He chased away all the fish. Then Jesus came near. He said, what did he call them? Let's go there. We'll round up there. I will give you part 2. Don't worry. Let's go to John. Let's finish on John. I've just crashed the surface of this message. The ultimate. So there will be part 2. But I think I want to finish on John. Then we stop. Now, this one is a good, takeaway. Go to John. Last chapter. John chapter 21. That should be the last chapter. Are you there? John chapter 21. Verse 5. Now, I need it from the King James or New King James. the other versions may not give me as much justice as I want. John chapter 21, verse 5. So this was now when Jesus saw them, yeah? And it was at the, what did he tell them?
Then Jesus said unto them, children.
Children!
Have you any meat?
Okay, let's stop there. I know you read it. You don't get what's going on. They are vastly dead. So now Jesus is calling them children. Didn't matter how old Peter was. He had behaved like what? A child. Because Jesus did not show up. Impatience. I'm talking about impatience. Jesus did not show up on time. You know what happened to Saul? Samuel did not show up on time. Then he went to do the sacrifice by himself. That was the end of his ministry. Forever. I don't even know whether he made it to heaven. I think he perished because in dying, he was trying to destroy David. In fact, the Bible says an evil spirit came to him. Imagine somebody that has been used by God, anointed with oil. Why? Impatience. Jesus says, children. Whenever you read your Bible, notice the words Jesus used. Whenever Jesus says children, he's trying to correct something in their life. They have behaved like children. He said, children, have you caught anything? Hallelujah. Then what did he say? He said, please read it.
They answered, no.
No, nothing. Yes?
And he said unto them, cast the net onto the right side of
cast the net where?
Onto the right side of
tell
the
to your neighbor, tell them, say, cast the net. No, let's change it. Say, cast your net. On the right side. There is a right side. If you are casting your net on the wrong side, you are wasting your life. And I'm telling you the whole truth. If I didn't tell you, I failed you. It's never too late to do the will of God. It's never too late to obey God. It's never too late to walk in love. The day is too late. God will take your life. Are you listening to me? The fact that you are alive means there is still a lot you can do for God. Hallelujah. And it starts with the people around you. It starts with obedience. It's a cast the net on the right side. And then when they cast it, what happened?
And ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it.
They were not.
To the fish.
So what did they do?
Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that,
he was the Lord. What did he do?
He girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea.
You know what I just even noticed in that verse? When Peter was baptizing, he took along the disciple that Jesus loved. You know the disciple that Jesus loved? He was the youngest of them, John, the beloved. Yeah? Hallelujah. That was impatience. Can do. So love is what? Patience. Now, when Jesus wanted to restore Peter, let's see what he told him. Look at verse 15. No, before that, look at verse 13. Read verse 13.
Jesus then.
No, read 12 and 13. 12 and 13.
Jesus said unto them, come and dine, and none of the disciples thus asked him, for our two. Knowing that it was the Lord, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus.
Okay, let's stop there. What I meant about that story is this: after they caught the fish, yeah, Jesus called them. He said, "Come and have breakfast." This breakfast, he had already prepared it before they caught the fish. What's he telling them? You see, if it's food you are chasing, I can give you food. Without even your fish. Hallelujah. Whatever you are chasing in your life that is taking you far away from God, God can give you free of charge. Hallelujah. Okay, finally, read verse 15.
So yeah? When they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Ye Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.
Amen. Let's stop there. Let's stop there. You see? Give him the fish. You want money? See. Look at my bank account. See. It's full. You can even take anything you want. Money is not the ultimate. Hallelujah. You want friends? I can give you friends. You want family? I can give you a new family. You may even be rejected and God will raise up new people for you. But it said, the question, do you love me more than this? All these other things. Hallelujah. The way you can receive God's love into your heart is to give him complete devotion. And I keep teaching, that will not take your life away. It will give you the real life. Now you are free to live. Amen? You will still, if you lose friends, he will give you new friends. If you lose family, he will give you, he said he will give you 100-fold. Amen? If you lose money, he will give you money and resources. You will now live the life that God made you for. When you finish this life, because you now be living by love, you are living your life, you are walking in love. When you finish, you have no regret. Because you have done everything that God wanted you to do in life. Because every other thing will pass away. Let us pray. I need to stop there. I didn't reach out for my message, but I stopped. Most important thing is that the Holy Spirit will have spoken to you, whatever he needs to say today. There will be a part two. You know, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you today? One of the things that touched me was, he said, if I give my body to be burned and I don't have love. Ah! So I'm asking myself, oh, what other thing can I do in this life that looks good, that compares to somebody who gave his body to the Lord? Say, Lord, I yield to you. Fill me with your love. Pray that prayer to God today. That love is Jesus. You don't have it naturally, but it's in Jesus. The way you can operate it is to open up your heart. Open up your heart. Open up your heart. Open up your heart. You know, don't close your heart to God. Open it and say, Lord, pour the love. Pour your love. Let it overflow. Let it overflow. Let me be a channel to release this love. I'm not perfect. But God doesn't need you to be perfect. He just needs you to be a channel. A channel. A channel of his love. A channel of his love. That's why he wants to transform lives. By being a channel of his love. Pray to God and say, Father, I open up my heart. I say, pour your love. Pour your love. Let me love you. And as I love you, I can love other people. I don't have any reason maybe to love them. Maybe they've offended me. But that selfless love, overflowing love, that will never fail. The ultimate, that it can fill me and I can be a vessel of love.